forgiven. Over there in Acts chapter 9, he was saved. He was to go to the house, and Ananias was to show him what he how the Lord was guiding him and direct him, and he went and met him. And then later we find Paul preaching in the synagogue there, going into the Jerusalem. And then if you go to over the book of Acts chapter number 13, you find that the church there was sending out Paul into his missionary journey. They were laying hands on him. They were ordaining him. So everything that Paul was doing was under the authority of the local church. And then we talked about how God gave Paul this ministry, this work to minister. And we talked about those who needed to be saved. Paul was out there reaching them, but also those who were saved. And we talked about this ideal of ministering. It's attending to the needs of others. And we gave the illustration of a doctor in the ER. And then we went to 1 Kings chapter number 19, and we talked about how Elijah had this great victory. God used him in so many ways, but as much as this great man of God was used, he had some spiritual low. And no matter who we are, we're going to have spiritual lows at times. And he came to the point where he went under the juniper tree there. He was weary. He was tired. He was defeated. He was depressed because of Ahab and his wife was coming after him, Jezebel. But there, as he was there, God did not leave him deserted. He sent an angel and touched him. And we talked about how God touched this man in despair. And we emphasize how God is in the business of touching people's lives. Amen. And I'm glad that we can have the touch of God. And then we talked about and we titled the message, The Ministry of Ministering to a Wounded Spirit. And we talked about why it's important. We mentioned that God is in the business of touching people's lives. And then we talked about how God operates on his sufficiency. And then we talked about how people are reaching through their despair and struggles. And so tonight I'm going to go to point number two, but I'd like to pray before we get started, and we'll jump right in, because I told Pastor my goal is to get to the 4 points tonight. Amen. I got going the other night and I only got through 1 point, but we want to finish. And I know that many of you get up early and have early hours, so we want to honor that tonight. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, now be with your word. We are honored to preach, Lord, your word. We count it a privilege to be a guest of Victory Baptist Church. I thank you for this wonderful church reaching our nation's heroes. I thank you for this church reaching the community. Lord, I thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Knight, their faithfulness, leading and guiding. I thank you for people that you have brought up to come along beside them. I thank you for John and Susan Rose, who have you led in this ministry. And Lord, many who will be supporting them in this work of reaching a wounded spirit throughout this community. Lord, I pray that you'll touch. We need your strength. We need your help tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. My second point is why it is important for the church to get involved. And of course, go over to Matthew chapter number 16, verse 18. Matthew chapter number 16, verse 18. We'll just read verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto thee, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, Peter was a helper in the church, but Peter was not the founder of the church. And if you study that, it's big stone, little stone, and Christ is that cornerstone, amen? And so Christ is the founder of the church. Of course, Jesus started the church with his disciples, and he empowered it there in the New Testament. But what I want to say, why is it important that the church get involved? The definition of a church is a local visible assembly of baptized believers organized to carry out the Lord's work. God organized the church to do his work. That's why we have Matthew chapter number 28 when he said, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe whatsoever things I command you." So the church was started to fulfill the Great Commission as if Jesus was still here on earth. We're really doing his work, and if you allow me to use this term, in his absence, while to continue his mission that he had here on earth. And so Christ started his church to fulfill the Great Commission of teaching the gospel, baptizing, and then teaching to observe. I heard it said like this: seek them, reap them, and keep them. Amen. Or win them, wed them, and work them. Amen. Get them involved, see them saved, get them baptized, and get them involved. So Christ started his church to fulfill the Great Commission. And let me say this. All ministries ought to be done through the church. Amen. Because it keeps it organized under the authority that God has set up. I'm not big on parachurch stuff, amen? Things that operate outside the local church. If there's Bible study, it ought to be done through the local church. How many are with me tonight? And I know that pastor believes that, and he's strong on the local church. So Christ started his church. And let me just say this. The church is a spiritual hospital, amen? The church is a spiritual hospital. It's a place where an emergency can be treated. You know, a wounded spirit cries out, "Help me." When something's not right, God has masterfully put this body together. And when that is not right, there's something out of joint. There's something that causes the body. You and I both know if there's something wrong with our leg, it affects other parts. Well, when there's something in a wounded spirit, God has made this body well put together and working emotionally, physically, mentally. And when something is not right there, it causes a breakdown. And so where else can they be treated, spiritually speaking? Where is at a church, amen? This ought to be a place where people can come and seek refuge, spiritually speaking. And it's one where an emergency can be treated. You know, folks, people have emergencies out there. Amen. They have spiritual emergencies. And thank God Victory Baptist Church is a place where they can come and be loved and be treated, to be reached and helped. Then the church is where one can come and seek treatment. They need spiritual guidance. They need that spiritual help. And so this is a place where one can come and seek treatment and be able to say, "Pastor, I need help. Pastor, I'm struggling in this area." And what's nice is that the pastor has several ministry and he have leaders. He can have resources to say, "Hey, we have this department. We can help you. Does your children need to learn the Bible? We have a Sunday school for children age. Does your children need some extracurricular? We have a youth group. Maybe one is struggling in this area. We have a wounded spirits group that's helping those who are dealing with PTSD. And it's just not military related. It's also in the civilian population. But we have this. This is one where can seek treatment. But it's also the church is a spiritual hospital. It's where one can be followed up with and have an aftercare. You know, we talked about the Sunday night society is so busy. You could almost fall out and everybody walk by you, amen? Yep. But at the church house, we don't leave people just walk by. Amen. We don't leave people slip through the cracks. And I know it's the vision of Pastor Knight in this church not to let one slip through the cracks of this ministry. And so it's important. You know why? Sometimes people that are dealing with PTSD don't want to come because they're afraid, hey, there might be a stigma, there might be this. But you know what? This is the place where they ought to come and feel a refuge, amen? Yeah. Even if they sit in the back, and even if maybe they sit in the lobby and have to watch a screen, But this is a place where they come and they feel like that there's a refuge and there's a place of safety. There's a place of protection. And it's a place where they can have follow-up and aftercare. Then over there in the book of 1 Corinthians, why is it important for the church to get involved? The Bible says that the church is like a body. It works together and it supports each other. We operate in unity. So if it's a ministry that God has laid on the leadership heart of the church and how we ought to support it, thank God, that's a good group, 30 people supporting. What a start to help this group, whether you have it or not there. But it's like we talked about Sunday night, it's going to allow someone that comes, maybe they come in, they're new, they're going to say, wow, this is something's really going on. And something exciting has happened. People are being helped. But it's important that we support each other's ministry. Amen. And what did he say? He said, go out in highways and byways and compel my people to come in, that my house be full. You never want to be like the guy that had a wedding and no one showed up. Amen. And what a ministry. You pray and, you know, you ask God to give your blessing and no one's here. And so you want to support each other's ministry. And at least you can just say, Brother John and Susan and Pastor, we are praying for this ministry. But if we have the opportunity, we'll do our best to be here and support and anything that we can do and help to make it go forward. I don't know, maybe they're doing a snack or something, but maybe someone can volunteer to do a snack or someone can volunteer to make juice. And maybe afterwards, you know, there's going to have to be a little cleanup and things of that nature. There's always room to volunteer to work together, but the church is that body that works together. And boy, nothing like having everything working together. I mean, maybe you're kind of broke down and your leg's not working right. That's tough when you got to walk with a limp, isn't it? You know what? Let's don't let this ministry walk with a limp. Amen. Let's let it be working together. It's been a lot of hours put in being organized. Pastor has helped them and they've worked together putting booklets. But to keep things organized and working together is important. Number three. How does a wounded spirit outreach benefit people in church and life in general? Go over to me the book of John, chapter number 1. John, chapter number 1. In verse number 46, John, chapter number 1. How a wounded spirit outreach benefits people in church and life in general. In John chapter number 1, verse number 46, so we'll start out now, verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see what's coming out of Nazareth. There was something that came out of Nazareth. Amen. It was the Lord Jesus. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said to him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Wow. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God. And you say, what was going on here? They saw Jesus of Nazareth. It was a raising. It was making awareness of Jesus from Nazareth, how God was using him. And what does a wounded spirit, how outreach benefits people in a church and life in general? It will raise your awareness to a true need in society. You know, folks, society is changing in so many ways. And the church doesn't compromise or change what its beliefs and its values. But as people need help, we've got to offer help where they're at. How many are with me? And so a wounded spirit is not just something we can glaze over. Different people have different needs. Sometimes there's people that need a little bit more help. It isn't something that maybe pastor can deal with, maybe just preaching from the pulpit. There's some things that have to be dealt with in a setting and counseling and things like that. So it ain't something that we can just glaze over it. And let me share something with you. And I don't mind sharing this with you. I was at a place, and we've got many of our nation's heroes in here tonight. And I was at a place, and I knew where the pastor was going. He was like, you know, brother, our generations are changing in a lot of ways. And he said, well, why didn't guys in World War II or in earlier wars, how come they seem not to be bothered by it? And so what he was getting at was like, we're living in a weaker generation. Let me tell you what, I'm among nation's heroes. I don't think any of our men in this room or our ladies are weak. Amen. Many of you have put yourself on the battlefield and given yourself to the need of our country. And I said, I stopped him. I said, excuse me. I said, I believe that it was in World War II. I believe it was earlier. I said, you can go back 3,000 years and study war history when it talked about when one went in battle, how his hair would stand up. His eyes were shutting. It was called shell shock. It was called freeze. But in just recent years, we begin to diagnose that there was a real problem. Maybe it's been more glazed over than what it needs to. And so it just hit me because I don't think there's weak people. And I said, I deal with our nation's heroes every day. And I said, they're not a weak generation. I said, they're a strong generation. I said, now, is there things making our generation weak? Yes, there is. I said, but we can't say it's because of weakness. I say it's because they have something that they're struggling with and need the answer of God. How many are with me tonight? So I say it will raise your awareness to a true need in society. See, Jesus was aware of this man under the fig tree. Jesus is aware of those who are struggling. I'm glad that we've got a God that's aware of when we're struggling. Number B, how a wounded spirit benefits people in the church. It will add another faucet of ministry to the community. It will add another faucet of ministry to the community. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Of these things, verse 14, let's read verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words of no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you say, what is it where we're raising awareness? It would add another faucet of ministry to the community. And it will raise your personal effectiveness for Christ. You'll be more aware. How many want to be an effective Christian? You want to reach out and be able to affect people's life. Well, you may not have it, or you're getting involved as a church. You're raising your effectiveness as a Christian. See, we all have an effect on people's lives, either in a positive way or a negative way. We affect our family, we affect our children, we affect those who are around us, and so it will add another faucet of ministry to this community. Hey, if no one else is doing, why not you? Thank God you're doing something. If anybody else is not doing it, you're going to have a ministry that is being birthed in this community to do a great work. And so it adds another faucet of ministry. Then you or others may experience a traumatic event in which you have a resource to help. You need resources. It's nice to have resources, amen? Nice to have something you can turn to and have as a resource. See, you may have that experience, that traumatic event, or others, But you could be able to say, you'll meet somebody out there, they're saying, hey, I'm struggling with this and this. Hey, we have a resource at our church. We have a wounded spirit that addresses that kind of stuff. And see, now you have a resource. Then let me say this. How a wounded spirit benefits people in a church and life in general. You have the opportunity to know and feel the satisfaction of helping someone. How many's ever told God's laid someone on your heart? And you knew that God was doing it, and you met that need, or you went over there and you encouraged them. And maybe you didn't even know what they were going through until after you came over there and you did something, and they said, you don't know what you did for me. Isn't there a satisfaction about helping someone? Boy, I tell you what, you're going to get that satisfaction as a ministry of what God can do as a result of that. You'll have that opportunity to know and feel the satisfaction of helping someone. And I think it's a great thing to be able to provide and be a help and feel that satisfaction. There's a great joy knowing that you're doing the will of God and that you're helping someone. You know, folks, we know this is true. We live in a selfish society. And God says the way to be spiritual is not to be selfish, but to be selfless. Yeah. And give ourselves to others. And that's where we find true happiness, when we're investing our lives into other people. There's a joy in satisfying of helping someone. And then let me give you number four. Hey, we're rolling in the right direction tonight. Go to Romans chapter number 12. You ever preaching pastor and things come to your mind? How many ever played sports when you were little, or maybe a game and you were picked last? Isn't that a lousy feeling? Yeah, it is a lousy. I sat the bench in high school or junior high baseball, man. And I was so excited I got to play an inning one time, man. I couldn't believe it. I actually hit off this league's best pitcher, man. He was like, now I'm telling you my age, anybody ever remember Dan Quisenberry? Played for Kansas City. This guy used to preach he used to pitch like this. He had this sidewinder. I remember Paul Basil, man. I hit that guy. He was in the Portage County League. I got a hit off him. I was so excited. Man, I came off the bench. But when it came to baseball, I was normally the guy that no one wanted to pick, amen? And they only picked me out of necessity. That's a tough feeling, isn't it? That'll ruin a man's morale. Have me been there? Yeah, that's a terrible feeling, isn't it? Romans chapter 12, verse 10. What does it say? Be ye kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, lifting up someone else better than who we are. Preferring. See, you may not have PTSD, but you can make a difference. That's number four. You may not have PTSD, but you can make a difference. Jesus said there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Ecclesiastic, turn over to Ecclesiastics. Ecclesiastics. Chapter number 4. Ecclesiastics chapter number 4, verses 9. Two are better than one. Wow. Two are better than one. Man, you ever had to do a job and you're like, man, I wish I had some help? I mean, y'all military. You remember when you had them no one liked them Lone Ranger details, amen? Remember when you had to move heavy stuff? You ever go somewhere and people don't know how to figure it out? You say, okay, let's line up here. Sometimes them old military ways may not have made sense all the time. I'll be honest with you. But you ever be somewhere and they're trying to get something done, and you say, okay, you line up here and you make a line and you just pass the stuff along? That kind of makes sense, don't it, sometimes? I'll be out there somewhere on the road. I'll say, well, let's get about four guys and you line up and you pass me back. Hey, two's better than one. It's better me running 50 miles that way to get something. Well, the Bible says that two is better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not other to help him. You know, we're to help each other. And let me say this. You may not have PTSD, but you can make a difference. Everyone needs a friend. Folks, loneliness is ugliness. Loneliness is ugliness. Look for those who are lonely and tell them you're thinking about them. You care about them. You know, I'm just not the hermit type of guy. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm not saying I don't like my time alone, my prayer time, and things of that nature. You, that family, sometimes it's nice just to be able to get alone. But, you know, we need each other. Loneliness is ugly. And there's people out there that are lonely, and they may be thinking, I'm the only one in this situation. But they're not. And they need to know that. They get in that despondency. They get in that despair. But loneliness is awful. Let me ask you this. Who made a difference in your life? Now, I know Jesus, praise God. But who made a difference in your life? Who came beside you and has been a friend? And thank God for our wives. Wives, thank God for your husband, having each other. But who made a difference in your life? Don't you want to make a difference in someone else's life? Be a difference maker. Let me say this. You may make a contact with an individual or individuals and become a beacon of hope or provide hope. See, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. See, God knows how to put you in people's paths. If you're in the will of God and you're following His, He knows how to put you. You ever think that you ought to went this way and God tells you to go this way and God does something while you're at that way? Or maybe you were thinking about going one way and there was an accident there and that could have been you if you were going to go that way. And then not only does God know how to put you in people's paths, but He also knows how to put people in your path. Right. Remember when the old eunuch was going on that carriage? Right. He stopped. Someone was there to meet him. God put that eunuch, I believe it was Philip, right? Man, Philip was there. Philip didn't understand why he was there, did he? You studied. He didn't know, God, why am I here in this place? And then the eunuch came. And the eunuch didn't understand. He was reading, but he didn't understand it. But God used Philip to help that eunuch understand what he was reading. Right. And God is going to use you to help some folks that maybe you don't have it, but you're going to help some folks that are struggling to help them to understand how God can help them. You know what we are? We are hope builders. We are hope builders. You know what? Because there's always hope. I want to be a hope builder, don't you? Isn't it great to have victory? A hope-building church builds hope in people's lives. See, we build hope for the present and future. Let's be a hope builder. Let's decide, hey, we're going to build hope in people's lives. Then let me say this, and I'll close with this. Don't ever underestimate how the Lord can use you in touching someone else's life. How many times have I heard that people say, well, God can't use me? Oh, yes, God can. Let me say this. When God saved you, that's what we call sanctification. He set you apart. And because He set you apart, that means God wants to use you in His will and perfect it. So God has a perfect will for each and every one of you that He set you apart. Because of sanctification, that says everyone at Victory Baptist Church can be used. I promise you, if you went to Pastor and said, Pastor, I want to be used, he's got a list like this. I'm sure he can say, we can use you here, we can use you here, we can use you. His dear wife can need help. I mean, I've never been at a church that couldn't use help in nursery. Amen? Yeah. I'm just telling you, maybe children. Hey, there's a need. So don't underestimate how God can use you. See, and let me give you something. I think it's sin to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. That's pride. But let me say this. I think it's also sin if you think too low of yourself. And you say, well, God can't use me. Yes, God can.
Sure.
Maybe you've been broken. Maybe there's things. And the devil would use that guilt to keep you from your potential. God wants to use you. Yeah, so underestimate how God can use you. Sometimes when you say, I'm not the one that God can use, you say, but God, I'll be the one to let me. You're a prime candidate. God wants to use you. I'm sure Pastor John and Susan got areas that you can be used in this ministry. And because it's going to continue to grow and it's going to need help, and God's going to direct that way. But, you know, don't underestimate how the Lord can use you in touching someone else's life. Everyone has that opportunity to be used. Isn't it wonderful that God would even choose to use us? What a blessing. I just hope we've encouraged you the last couple services about ministering, the ministry of ministering to a wounded spirit. But I want you to know God can use you. Maybe you're thinking, God can't use me. Oh, yes, he wants to use you. He wants to build you up, use you. And, you know, you study the writers of the Bible. Many of them were what we would say unlikely writers. They were farmers, sheep goers. I mean, skill set. But God used him, didn't he? And God's using this body to start another ministry for his glory. Isn't it great to be? I just want you to know God wants to use you. Let's pray with heads bowed, eyes closed. And we just want to be to the Lord. I just want to say, Asha, how many would say, Brother Pierce, by the uplifted hand, if I was to die tonight, I'd know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I remember a time in life I realized I was a sinner. I realized there was a penalty. I realized Jesus died for me, and I repented of my sins, and I cried out by faith and trust, put my faith and trust in Christ, asked him to save me. You know that you're saved. Could you raise your hand tonight? Maybe you're here tonight, and you'd say, Brother Pierce, if I die tonight, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that in our midst tonight? We won't embarrass you, I promise you. Maybe you're here tonight, you're just in your heart. Maybe this is all new to you, but you feel the leading God to help and be a part of it. Step out. Be a blessing. Don't let pride keep you from getting help if you need that help. Seek help. Reach out. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. We've just tried to stress the importance of having it. Whatever the Lord leads and guides as the pianist begins to play.
Why don't you come tonight and pray? Why don't you come tonight and ask God what he'd have you to do? Or you can at least come and pray for those that are serving in this ministry. There's going to be people come in that are heavy-hearted, going through a lot of things. There's a real need to pray for those, even before they even get here. And to pray for those leaders that will be speaking to them and trying to help them.